Our thoughts are higher than God's thoughts. So in Proverbs, if we go back there again tonight, I'll look at our text that we've been starting with each night. And in Proverbs 26, verse 11, we wrote a song many years ago, and I've since lost it, and I can't for the life of me remember it. But we wrote a song in the church bus, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. And I don't remember all the words to it. It went something like this. As the dog, woof, woof, returneth to his vomit. Blah, blah. As a dog, woof. Anyway, we wrote this little song. Children loved it. We sang in church one time. The adults hated it. It's inappropriate. Amen. I like it. The dog returned to his vomit, so a fool returned to his folly. He can't stop returning. There's two people I want to look at tonight first, and then we'll probably move on from there. But I want to go to Proverbs 9 in verse 13. And I want to look at the foolish woman tonight. Man, I hope you pay attention as well. But the Bible says this of a foolish woman. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Can I get an amen, ladies? Amen. A foolish woman is clamorous. One of the definitions of clamor is just an unsubstantiated noise. She wears you down with speaking. Wears you down with words, yet the Bible says she's simple, one of the simple ones, right, and knoweth nothing. Her speech bewrayeth her, and she doesn't realize it because she's a foolish woman. She thinks her words will prove her wise. And how foolish that is.
Right.
How foolish that is for any one of us to think our words will make us wise.
Sure.
It's not with our speech that we show wisdom, it's with our lives, our actions that we show wisdom, not with our speech. But a clamorous woman, she wears you down with speaking because she's simple and she knows nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers to go right in their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. And verse 18 says this of her, but he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. A foolish woman will destroy others with those lips. She will guide them into stolen waters and bread eaten in secret, but knowing not that her guests are there, that are guests in the depths of hell. The foolish woman also we see again in chapter 14 and verse 1. The Bible says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Every wise woman buildeth her house. It doesn't mean that she pounds the nails and lays the mortar. No, she builds a house. She builds a dwelling place for her family. The foolish woman teareth it down. It's no longer a place where her children can prosper, no longer a place where her children can thrive. It's no longer a shelter for her children because she's torn it down with her hands. Our third verse tonight, in Proverbs 19 and verse 13. Ties two passages together, and we'll come back to the next passage, but verse 13 says, a foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. The contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. In Maine, they said, please keep the sink on a slow trickle every night lest the pipes freeze. And I understood this verse better.
Sure.
If you don't believe me, sleep with a drip in the faucet. Sleep with a continual dropping. Sleep where there's just noise randomly without ceasing. And he said, these are the contentions of a wife. When she contends with her husband, it's like dripping water. It's like a continual dropping that never ceases. Can I say this? It's just an aggravation.
Right.
That's unnecessary. I want to go to Proverbs 31. I'm just going to read most of it. I may make two comments. And then we're going to come back to 19:13. Talking about tearing down her with her hands. But the Bible says this of this virtuous woman. It says a lot about her hands. And I just want to look at those. I know you've heard this passage many times, but I want to look at the hands of the virtuous woman. Her prize is far above rubies. The heart of her husband will safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She would do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and look here, and worketh willingly with her hands. It means she cleans the home. She labors over the children. She cooks, she washes the dishes, she prepares, but she uses her hands as an instrument that God's given her. She's like the merchant ship, verse 14, she bringeth food from afar. She rises while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She gets up early so they can eat. She considereth a field, and look here, buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. Not with her hands, with the fruit of her hands. Right. That thing that she's wrought out of the labor of her hands, she plants that vineyard with. Why? Because when you have a vineyard, it continues to produce, continues to bring wealth, not riches, but wealth into the home. And she does this with the fruit of her hands. She girdeth the loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. Again, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out what? Her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. What's the difference? Extending to the hand, I believe, is a fellowship. When a hand is offered, it's a comfort, it's fellowship, it's comforting. Hands means they're filled. She's bringing things to the needy. She's making provision for others. Why? Because she doesn't want her own family to be in need.
That's good.
So she reaches forth her hands to the needy. Do you see now where a foolish woman tears down her home? She's using her hands to destroy her own household, when she ought to be building it up. I'm going to give you just something I saw in this, and I believe it's right. And if you disagree, then I might be wrong. Look at verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. I looked at that bread of idleness long and hard, and all I could come up with was this. It's daily bread. Idleness is day-old bread. The bread of idleness. What is she saying? I'll make more today so that tomorrow I can be what? Idle. What does an idling car do? gets hot, starts to smell, amen. Nothing, it just sits there.
Right.
She said, I'll make my bread today and we'll eat it tomorrow too. No, the virtuous woman doesn't eat the bread of idleness.
That's good.
And the Lord told us to pray in this fashion. Lord, give us this
That's
day.
That's right. Amen.
Our daily bread.
Right.
She's taking care of her family's needs today.
Each day.
While the foolish woman is tearing down her home. Proverbs 19 and 13. I'm glad you men are here. Because the Bible says a foolish son is the calamity of his father. Proverbs 15 and verse 5 says this. A fool despiseth his father's instruction. A fool. But a foolish man, all right, I'm going to have, he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Verse 20 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. What's the difference there? Well, the father is authority. The father is in charge. The mother is subject to the father and to the rule of the father as the son is. A foolish son despiseth the instruction of his father. But then he just despiseth his mother. Why? Because he's a fool. And if you despise your mother, you are a fool.
That's right.
But the Bible says a foolish son despiseth his mother. He may not act like, he may not think he does, he may pretend like he doesn't, but if he's a fool, he despiseth his mother. But he despiseth the instruction of his father. Who's this guy to tell me anything? You realize you can learn, there's two forms of instruction. There's, if you will, this constructive criticism, which builds up and grows, but then there's also what they call, for lack of a better word, a negative criticism, which is, don't do like I do. Right. There's two types of instruction, I believe, that a father can give his son. Son, learn from your dad's mistakes and don't do this, but son, you need to do this. Or the son, follow my example and do as I've done, because this is what God wants us to do. If you despise either one of them, you're a fool.
That's good.
You'll despise your mother as well when you're a fool. Proverbs 17 and verse 21. He that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. Verse 25 says this, a foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that beareth it.
Right.
You want your mama to really be bitter? Just be a fool. You want your mother to be bitter, bear a fool. A foolish son's a grief to a father. When you beget a fool, it's a sorrow that never ends. And it's a bitterness to a mother. I've known people over the years who've raised fools. Raised them in church. Some raised out of church. But they're fools. And you listen to that mother, a father oftentimes is still trying to be proud of his son. He'll tell you how good he's doing. You know, always, yeah, he's off the heroin, he quit drinking and he quit beating up his wife. I mean, you know, he's got a job now. He's got a 7-Eleven pouring coffee. He's doing pretty good. You know, he tries to, that's why a father is, it's a grief to him, it hurts him, but then you talk to that mother and it's just, my foolish son has cut my heart out. world is filled with bitter people.
Right.
Because they've raised fools. The sorrow of watching your child become a fool because they do not believe God. And I know that parents often will blame themselves, but can I say this? You'll not take your children to hell with you. They'll go on their own. Because you are a living epistle, whether right or wrong, read of men everywhere. And if they can't see how you've messed up your life and try to better themselves because they've watched you mess up your life,
right,
they are a fool. But you'll bear that burden forever.
Sir.
My wife and I have dear friends that have raised fools. We have dear friends that have raised foolish sons that absolutely hate God. We have a friend who, one son I know for sure, blames his mom for everything. And he can't see that he's a fool.
Right.
I can blame my dad for all the mess ups in my life. You know who I blame? Me. You know why? Because David said this: against thee, O Lord, and thee only have I sinned.
That's right.
I could have done better. You can overcome your upbringing. You can overcome the way you were raised. You can be raised in a fool's home and still fall in love with Christ.
That's right.
But it's a bitterness to a mother. It's a sorrow and it's a hurt that doesn't pass away easily when your son's a fool. It's a grief to a father. The word grief bears that connotation of that deep hurt. Something deep down inside that you can't get away from. Something deep inside the soul that every moment of every day it consumes you with angst and with pain and with hurt. Because you've raised a fool. There's no blame except for the fool in the Proverbs. He starts off with, hear the instruction of thy father. Be of an understanding heart. The blame is not to mom and dad, the blame is to the fool. And you may blame your mom and dad, but if you're a fool, you'll go to hell a fool. And I hear people say, well, I was so hurt by so-and-so. Can I say this as cold and callous and as bitter as I can? It's time to get over it.
Sure.
Get your thumb out of your mouth and quit being a fool.
It's good.
We've all been hurt.
Sure.
We've all been deeply hurt. We've all had compounded sorrows.
Right.
But I'm not going to take them to the grave with me. And I'm not going to damn my soul because of bitterness. And you know what the foolish son says? I believe he says this, but, and I can show you some scriptures that verify this, I believe. How could God, if he loved me, let this happen to me? Or why would God let me do this? Why would God allow this in my life? God really loved me. Why would he let this in my life? It might be so that you see how wretched you really are.
That's right.
It might be that you come to a day of reckoning. You realize how hateful you really are. It might be because your parents were fools. And many parents are fools. But you don't have to go to hell with them.
Right.
You can pray for foolishness. bring it tonight. Surely he hath borne our griefs. Dad, Jesus Christ bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And then he said this, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. So what hath the Lord hath laid on him, the iniquity of us all. He carried your foolishness. He bore your grief. He carried your sorrows. He was made sin for us that knew no sin. Not us, he knew no sin. You see, a fool is a calamity to all around them.
Right.
Proverbs 9:6. Instruction to the foolish woman, instruction to the foolish son. By the way, we're all pretty much covered there. If you're a man, you're a son. If you're a woman, you're a woman. Amen. We're all covered. Verse 6, forsake the foolish and live. And go in the way of understanding. Your foolishness will destroy you. Your foolishness is what keeps you from God. Your foolishness is what keeps you from being what you ought to be. Your foolishness keeps you dead in trespasses and sins. He said, get away from the foolishness. Walk away from it and live. Find out what life is. Let the foolishness cease. Come to Christ. We talked earlier this week about Moab. The sin of Moab. The destruction of Moab. And how people's families are in Moab. And I've watched generational fools. Daddy was a fool, so I'm a fool. We talked about it Monday and Tuesday. They're called Moabites in the Bible, Ammonites in the Bible, Canaanites in the Bible. My daddy was a fool, so I'm going to be a fool. The kings of Israel, their daddies were fools, so they were fools. Every once in a while, a king would come along and break that chain. And he'd honor the Lord thy God, and he'd believe the word of God, and he would trust the word of God.
Right.
But for the most part, they did as the generations before them. We do this because this is what we do. We're foolish because all I know is foolishness. All I've taught has been foolishness. Then the word of God sets in on us. We find out how foolish we really are. I'm convinced I've said it wrong for many years. And just several years ago, the Lord showed me pretty clearly that all of our righteousnesses, that's the righteousness that you can come up with, that's a plurality, are filthy rags. I'm convinced it's that leprous garment, spotted by leprosy. That cloak that leper would wear. That cloak is never good for anything ever again. That leper, once he touches that garment, it becomes condemned. It is filthy. It can never be cleansed. The only way to cleanse it is to burn it in fire.
Right.
That is our righteousnesses. That's the best that we have to offer God.
Yes, sir.
Just a leprous, nasty, filthy, diseased garment. We say, well, this is what we have. It's foolishness to God. Think that old diseased garment would be a benefit to him when he's holy and he's just.
Right.
Proverbs 10, two of my favorite verses in all the scripture. We've been preaching all week on mistakes that fools make. One of the great mistakes, the more they talk, the better it will be. Mm. The more they talk, the better it will be. Verse 8 and verse 10 both say simply this, but a prating fool shall fall. A prating fool shall fall. Prattle is simply the inability to keep one's mouth shut. It's chattiness. A good biblical word is not in the Bible, loquacious. Meaning they've fallen and they can't shut up.
That's good.
A fool can't stop talking. He can't stop explaining his foolishness. His own tongue will tell on him.
That's right.
My wife has asked me before, why did you have testimonies? Or why did you call him so-and-so to testify? Why did you have us testify? I've told my wife, because God oftentimes will use that to let people reveal where they really are.
Sir.
Back when I used to get away with stuff like this, now people are so fragile and sensitive that you can't do stuff like this. But I pointed to the lady and I just said, ma'am, could you tell us a testimony when you got saved? Her eyes got this big, her husband nudged her, like, go ahead, go ahead. She goes, oh, I want to thank the Lord for saving me, and God's given me all these children, and I just love children, and God knew I wanted children. I'm so thankful for all these. She got done. I said, well, when did you get saved? She's looking cockeyed.
It's good.
Pride and fool shall fall. Last week, our testimonies were just proud, just words. You see, a fool is always trying to justify his end. He's always trying to speak, he's always trying to talk his way into righteousness. But it just doesn't work. Verse 14 of Proverbs 10, the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The mouth of the foolish is near destruction. Do you know why police interrogate people? Because they're fools. I've had police officers told me most people want to brag about how close they were to getting away with it. Detective John Eisenhart told me he had a guy in there one time. He could tell the guy was just busting to tell him. And John just buddy-buddy with the guy, gets him a coffee, gets him some donuts. He goes, all right, man, how did we catch you? And the guy told him. Fools! Their lips never cease foolishness. They can't stop talking. Their end is destruction. Their mouth is their destruction. Their words are their destruction. But they're so spiritual. They're so spiritual. Oh, I just love the Lord. Don't you dare tell somebody you love the Lord if you speak curses and blasphemies against his name.
Right.
I found love not sin, clean water, bitter water, sweet water, bitter water. Let not be so. I don't drink out of the septic tank. You tell people you love the Lord, you better love him.
That's right.
But every fool in church loves the Lord. They'll tell everybody they do. They can't show it their acts, but they'll tell everybody they do. Verse 18 says this. He that uttereth a slander is a fool. I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat that. I wouldn't want to try. A slander is just something made up to tear down someone else. That's what a slander is. Just something you make up. You'll tell it to maliciously hurt someone else. That's what a fool does. Slanders. Right. I've been in mystery long enough to know there's a lot of people slander. How else can you make yourself look better to tear down other people? It's the oldest trick known to man. I'll tear you down because that makes me look better. I'll make you look stupid so I look better. But he that uttereth a slander is a fool. You ever make stuff up to hurt people? You ever lie on somebody just to hurt? You're a fool. How could you slander somebody you love? Proverbs 12. Verse 23 says, the prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. It comes out of the heart. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, man speaketh. So out of the abundance of a fool's heart comes what? Foolishness. What is foolishness? It's the sayings of a fool. It's the actions of a fool. You couldn't tell a saved person to fool a life when they're being foolish because the things that come out of them are foolishness.
Right.
We'll continue on in the book of Proverbs here and go to chapter 14. Verse 3 says this, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. So proud of their ways. So proud of their life. So proud is a rod of pride. It's a hurt to it. Our same text there in verse 7 says this, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. We talked about that last night. Fools make a mock at sin. Fools don't take sin serious. They take a mock at it. I'd be far pressed to speak out against a man of God who preaches just because I don't understand something. Or maybe I can't live what he's preaching. I told them last week, you may not be able to live what I'm preaching tonight, but you put that in a little book and you put it on a bookshelf of your heart. And when God requires it, you pull that book out and you read it again and you let God apply that to your life. And I told him last week, you may not be able to live what I'm preaching, but you better believe it. You may not at this juncture in your life be where I'm at in the preaching. You may not be able to live it, but you had better believe it. And you had better be prepared to give an answer for it. Don't you dare make a mock at it.
Hey,
a lot of people are fools making a mock at sin. They think it's funny. They think it's just goofy. And so they slander people to try to be holy and try to live holy and try to walk holy. Proverbs 15 and 2. The mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Verse 14, the heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouths of fools feedeth on foolishness. You know who fools love? They love other fools. Because they can feed off of them. They'll gorge each other's bellies with foolishness. They'll slander. They'll pour out foolishness. They'll feed each other foolishness. Why? Because they are a fool. You all have heard Brother Mike Church's testimony. Brother Mike gave that last Wednesday night over at Lexington Baptist Church there in South Winston. He gave his testimony with tears. And I remember in that testimony, he said that day when those young men tried to witness him, walked away, he laughed, he made fun of them, he scoffed at them, and he said, I was a fool.
Right.
He did not tell those young men he was a fool. They knew he was a fool. Why? Because your mouth poureth out foolishness when you're a fool. Continuing on, we'll just read a few more of these. Proverbs 17 and 7. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. A fool cannot speak of excellent things. A fool certainly can't speak of biblical things. Oh, they can try to sound good. They can try to sound wise. They can come up with some type of an intellectual assent to God, but their foolishness is not become that in excellent speech. It's ugly. Our next verse is chapter 18, verse 6 and 7. We're looking at the mouth of a fool because they think speaking will make them better. A fool's lips enter into contention. Is everybody listening? And his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction. And his lips are the snare of his soul. He can't stop talking. And it's the snare of his soul. Why? Because he says, I have done no wrong. When Job was confronted with the holiness of God, what did Job say? I will lay my hand upon my mouth.
Oh boy.
And I will speak no more. Romans 3 is a 15, I believe it is, that every mouth may be stopped. The whole world become guilty before God.
Right.
The fool's mouth is a snare to his soul. He's trying to talk his way into spiritual things, trying to talk his way into godliness, trying to talk his way into righteousness, and it's what's destroying him. His own mouth is destroying him. It's a snare for him. His lips enter into contention. His mouth calls for strokes. A fool abuses with his words. Abuses with his words. I don't mean being firm, sharp, even harsh. But he uses words to punish. Are you listening? Words are never a punishment. Mom and Dad, look up here. Words are not a punishment.
That's right.
A rod is a punishment.
Right.
Words are reproof. Words can be correction. Words can be a rebuke. A rebuke is a sharp exhortation to do right. They that sin rebuke before all is a sharp exhortation because they that sin need to be rebuked before all. Why? That others may fear.
Right.
Words are not a punishment. Can I say that about five more times? Maybe we should get t-shirts made. Words are not a punishment.
Right.
I've heard of these judges that way. Listen, I like chewing people out. I don't mind getting chewed out. My wife and I talk about it. We talk about that. You know, I don't mind, you know, a heated discussion with somebody. I don't mind people getting mad. I'm just one of those people. Some people hate it, so I don't mind it. It's not right or wrong. I'm saying I don't mind it. I was in the military 10 years. I'm used to being yelled at. I'm used to yelling at people. But words are never a punishment.
That's right.
But that's what a fool does. He calls for strokes. me tell you one of those profane things. I'm going to say this. I want to say this with all clarity, and I'm not being profane, but I'm going to be real clear because I'm going to say it. If you tell somebody to go to hell, that's foolish.
Right.
Because you're trying to use your words as a punishment, as though you had the power to cast them into hell. That's a foolish statement.
Right.
You young people ought never, 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 never tell somebody such an awful thing.
Right.
If you damn someone, as though you had the power to, you're speaking with the lips of a fool. Because you're trying to punish with your speech. Children, you ought to never, ever use that word except in a biblical context. But you never accompany it with the word you, or it, or them.
Right.
Because that's what fools say. I don't know how many times I heard the Lord's name in vain accompanied with that slur yesterday just at the flea market. At least three different men. Tough men. Oh yeah, big tough guy. I can take the Lord's name in vain and accompany it with punishment. Oh, you fool. You fool. You don't have the power to damn if you try.
That's right.
It's all just empty words, just speech. It's like a man sentenced to death in the court. He screams to the judge, I'll get you. And then he points to the district attorney, I'll get you, I'll kill you. And he looks at the detective, he says, I'll kill each one of you. And he tells the jurors, I'll burn your house down. And they'll cower in fear. Then they put him in shackles and leg irons, take him to the penitentiary, where he rots in a cell till they juicy and dies. It's just words. It's just words. More than once in visitation, somebody's told me to go to hell. And you know the answer. I couldn't if I tried.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Nice try, fool. Nice try, foolish lips.
Right.
Nice try, but it can't work. A lady tried to cut me off one time. Before the Lord, I was driving this on a ramp. She tried to pass me in the grass on the ramp, screaming and ranting and raving at me. I have no clue. I have no, before the Lord, I have no idea what I did, except get in my car. I just figured she's a devil.
Right.
She pulls up beside me, rolls me in, screaming and cursing. This is in the Bible Belt, down South Carolina. I couldn't think of anything else to say. I said, where's your husband? She went nuts. I waited for her to calm down. I said, hey, go home to your husband and tell him you need to clean your mouth out. She just cursed. I mean, damned me and cursed me. Went on my merry way. You know how much that bothered me? About 10 seconds, I thought, boy, that was really bad. Just kept driving down the road. But see, a fool thinks their words carry weight. A fool thinks their words have power. A fool thinks that people actually listen to what they say. But when your mouth proclaimeth foolishness, nobody's listening to what you say. Nobody. Because his foolishness is proclaimed as foolishness. Proverbs 19:1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Proverbs 26:7. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. Verse 9, as a thorn goes into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. Proverbs 29 and verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind. A fool can't hold anything back. He tells everything he's thinking. Why? It's his conceit. It's the rod of pride. In his lips is foolishness. His mouth poureth out foolishness. His mouth is his destruction. And therefore, because of these things, he's going to tell the world exactly what's on his mind. And it's just foolishness. Any of you know a dreamer? By a dreamer, I mean somebody that talks about what they're going to do and never does it. I know dreamers. Can I say, this isn't somebody that starts a project and just doesn't finish it. I'm talking about a dreamer, somebody that has, I mean far out there in galaxies. I'm going to do this and this and this. And you know it's a dream. Brother, you may know who I'm talking about. Don't let on if you do. I have a video of a young man who has since proven to be a fool. And he's telling a missionary about, I'm going to go to Bible college and I'm going to get a degree and I'm going to do this and I'm going to get a teaching job and da-da-da-da, you know, and for the next 5 or 6 years we were in contact. Never went to college, an accredited college, never got a degree, never got a job, couldn't keep a job, couldn't stay gainfully employed, still can't stay gainfully employed, but he had a dream. That's why fools speak all their mind. Because it's just a dream. I'll do this. I'll do this. I promise this. I'll do this. It's just a dream. Because there's no hope outside of Christ. If we had to go around this room one by one, we had to say, would you confess your faults? Before the church, would you confess your biggest faults? Some people would be honest. Some people would lie. And the sad thing is everybody can see our faults anyway. But that rod of pride, the fool, will keep him admitting his faults. I've done no wrong. I'm not guilty. But the child of God, you get saved, you learn how to be honest. When you start being honest, you find out how transparent you really are. That's why you have to change your life. You can't hide the manner of man you are. The instrument of saving are fools. A saved person knows he can't hide what he is. The fool thinks he can hide him. So he speaks about it continually because he's going to fool people when he's speaking. He's going to tell everybody how good he is. But he can't be honest about it. I've done things since I've been saved so foolish. I'd be ashamed to even admit them in this pulpit.
Right.
Things I've said these 3 days, I'd be ashamed to identify myself with some of those things. That's exactly what I've done. When I go to the throne of grace and find forgiveness and find mercy, I find I'm not a fool, I just act like a fool. But if you go to the throne of grace and find out you're a fool, you need to be saved. You need Jesus Christ. We're not done. We are tonight, I believe. The fool with as many words thinks he's going to explain away everything. He's going to fathom himself with speech. And he just can't do it. You can tell somebody anything. I'll quit, I'll quit, I'll quit, I'll quit. Husband tells his wife, I'll never do it again. Wife tells her husband, I'll never do it again. Children, I'll never do it again. I'll stop. It won't happen again. But then it happens again. And then it happens again. And then it happens again. Why? Because we never changed. We just talked about it. Boy, that's pretty foolish, isn't it? Why don't you just not let it happen again instead of talking about it? Why don't you just quit instead of telling everybody you're going to quit? Why don't you just walk away instead of telling people you're going to walk away? I had a man told me. It's what he said. I can't stop looking at pornography. That's what he told me. I said, well, you better stop. He said, I can't. He said, I want to. He said, but I can't. Can I say this? He's in a lot better shape than the man is saying, I'm going to quit, I'm going to quit, I'm going to quit, and doesn't.
Right.
Because at least he's being honest. Tell my wife sometimes, honey, I'm going to try. I think I worded it right. I'm going to try to never, whatever it is, she's mad about something, upset, says, I don't want you to do, I'll say, honey, I'm going to try not to do that again. I'm going to try. But if I tell her I'm not going to do it again and I do it again, you're not done, I've lied. I just lied. I'll never do that again. I grew up in a home hearing that. Oh, kid, I'm not mocking. Oh, kid, your dad loves you. He'll never do that again. We knew better. We knew differently. He'd tell my mom, oh, I'll never do it again. And my mom knew he was lying. We all knew he was lying. But when the heart changes, when the inside changes, the foolish speech doesn't come out anymore.
Good, isn't it?